You're listening to a Zone Radio podcast, zoneradio.co.za.
And it is just on 6 minutes past four. Steve is here, and it is time for us to have a look at things related to the Entrepreneur Zone. And with that, we say good afternoon to Steve. Hello, Steve.
Afternoon, Richard. Afternoon, listeners.
Glad you made it.
Thank you. Glad to be here. Really glad.
All right, Steve. So this afternoon, we are on to another book, a very good one, and one that I reckon a lot of people have read, The Seven Habits of Highly Effective People. And that was written by Stephen Covey. It was quite a book, quite a revolutionary book when it came out.
Yep.
And you're going to be talking about that and excerpts and lessons from that book this afternoon, correct?
Exactly that. Exactly
okay.
that. And so this is called Powerful Lessons in Personal Change. So, listeners, the format of our sharing is we look at a business book and we try to make it accessible. We try to relate that to where we are, business owners or entrepreneurs and people who are employed.
Mm.
So he talks about the seven habits of highly effective people. It doesn't say successful, effective, you know, and I think it leans more to doing something which creates a significant life rather than only a successful life. And he talks about a habit. So first of all, what is a habit? So a habit, if you imagine three circles and they're all intersecting, the one circle is called knowledge, the other circle is called skills, and the third circle is desire, what you want to do. And where they intersect, that's where we should build habits. So at the intersection of knowledge, skills, and desire. And this million copy international bestseller, he talks about these seven habits. We're not going to go through all of them. I'm only going to take three little excerpts and talk about them. But here, listeners, are the seven habits. Number one, be proactive. Number two, begin with the end in mind. Number three, put first things first. Number four, think win-win. Number five, seek first to understand and then to be understood. Number six, synergize. And number seven, sharpen the sword. M. Scott Peck, in writing about this, says this: this book has the gift of being simple without being simplistic. So I would love to extract from this three things I use quite regularly with my clients, with young people particularly, and that is, what is an emotional bank account? Number two, the 90-10 principle. And number three, the last habit, which is sharpen the sword. So, listeners, we all know what a bank account is. We know that the currency there is rands, pounds, dollars, whatever. That's the currency. And the way in which we conduct ourselves with that will give us a record of either being a great client or a neglectful client. What do we do wrong if we are a neglectful client? Well, we withdraw more than we deposit.
Mm-hmm.
So imagine a bank account where the currency is not money, but the currency is trust. I think this book really helps us to build strong, meaningful, impactful relationships with others, with our clients, with our family, etc. And here he talks about a thing called the emotional bank account. The currency is not money, but the currency is trust. How do you, over time, build trust with your clients, in your relationships, etc.? Well, in the same way that you have a ordinary bank account where you have deposits and withdrawals, in the same way you can build an emotional connection where you build trust by putting in more deposits than you do withdrawals. So let's take a look at that. You know, said by themselves, Richard, they seem so simple. Of course, yes. But the point is to do all of them consistently again and again and again. And then over time, surely one will build a reputation for being trustworthy and being a credible person. So here are the deposits, everyone. Number one, keep your promises. You know, if you say something, there was that old saying, you know, he's a man of his word. Well, let's defend that. If you commit to something, for example, you say, I'm going to pay this by Friday, then do it. Because when you fail to keep your promises, that's a withdrawal. People begin to get a reputation for either being trustworthy or unreliable. So a deposit is to keep your promises. And here's an interesting one. You might think, how does this relate to being a small business owner or an entrepreneur? And that is, do small acts of kindness or random acts of kindness, wherever, whenever, little acts of kindness. The opposite of that, listeners, is when you keep to yourself, you are self-concerned, you don't think about anyone else. Because you see, when you're thinking about others, when you're deliberately trying to add value to others, even in a small way, whether it's a kind word or a kind act, that sticks with you. The third thing is be loyal. Now, when do you need to be loyal? Well, loyalty is only tested in times of adversity. You see, it's easy to support the Springboks when they are world champions and they beating the All Blacks. But there was a time, about 2017, when they were eighth in the world. And that's when you are loyal. So in a context of a group, if, for example, we're here at Zone Radio and Richard is not in the room, and then there's discussion about Richard, loyalty demands that if I'm in that group, I say, wait a second, are you prepared to say what you've just been saying to Richard? Or, listen, don't talk about Richard without him being here to defend that. I'm using that as an example. So be loyal, particularly to those that are absent. Remember, we're talking about the currency of trust. This little insert is about the building an emotional bank account. The third one, or the next one, is to listen, to really listen. You know, I love that Afrikaans saying where they say, "Hoor jy my." It doesn't mean has the sound entered your ears, but rather has the meaning entered into your heart. So really, really listening. I don't think that by and large we are always that great at listening. We're always thinking about our own stuff, etc. But when we truly listen, the person feels honored. And then say you're sorry. Obviously, there's been a conflict, there's something that's happened, and if you are quick to apologize, you build something. This person recognizes a mistake was made, and you were willing to say you're sorry. And then the final one, in terms of building an emotional bank account, is to set clear expectations. That's both with your clients, within your family, with your friends, clear expectations in the community that you live in as well. Those are deposits. I'll say them again quickly. Keep your promises. Do small acts of kindness. Be loyal. Listen. Say I'm sorry when it's required. And set clear expectations. Now, the opposite of that is withdrawals. Now, from time to time, we drop the ball. From time to time, you know, we allow our ego, our whatever, to rear. So it doesn't mean we'll never do this. But are we going to practice this as a habit? So here is a list of the withdrawals that if you consistently do this, you'll become known as an untrustworthy person, breaking promises, keeping to yourself, in other words, being self-absorbed, gossiping and breaking confidences, not listening, don't listen, and being arrogant, and finally, setting false expectations. Listeners, I don't know about you, but when I look at each of those line things, they seem so simple.
Mm.
But when I look at them as a list of things that will collectively build or break trust, then it makes me sit up and I say, wait a second, I can do something about that. I can add to that. Anything you wanted to add there, Richard?
No, I'm listening. I was just going to ask about expectations. You said the setting expectations. Is that the same as managing expectations, or is there a difference?
Well, setting clear expectations. So, for example, if it's a business relationship and you don't define what that's going to be, and the person, because there's a lack of clarity, they expect more than what you intended. So clarifying and, I suppose, managing is a part of that. Mm. But set clear expectations. Make sure that you take the initiative and don't wait for them or others to ask you of that. So build an emotional bank account. It's interesting that when you do that, you can build your credibility in a relatively short time. Your trust account will be growing. A second thing that he refers to in this book is what's called the 90-10 principle. And I love it, the 90-10 principle. And what it says, listeners, is that life is 10% what happens to you, but 90% how you respond to what happens to you. We tend to think that, you know, there are things, and they are, beyond our control. But how we respond to those things is 100% within our ambit. We can't do much about the government in America and the impact upon the choices that have been made there regarding the dollar. And of course, it's having an impact on our economy.
Mm.
But how we respond to that, we've got 100% responsibility. So I'm going to share with you this principle in an article. Common sense is like deodorant. The people who need it most never use it. So what is this principle? 10% of life is made up of what happens to you. 90% of life is decided by how you react. What does this mean? You really have no control over the 10% of what happens to you, but the 90%, well, that's different. You determine the 90%. How? By the way you react. I'd like to say by the way you respond. For example, you can't predict an uncontrolled situation like an accident or being late for school or in traffic and so on. I had something happen that impeded me to get here on time. And I could have gone off at a tangent. I mostly got it right, Richard.
Mm.
You can control your reaction. What you can do is simple. Don't let circumstances or people fool you. You can control how you react. So let's take an example. Here is a dad and a mom and a child at the breakfast table. They're having breakfast, and the little girl reaches over to get the jam or the honey. By mistake, she knocks over her dad's coffee. It was a mistake.
Mm.
She didn't intentionally do that. But he overreacts and jumps up and says, "What's wrong with you? You know, you never do anything right." and storms out because he's now, his shirt is stained and he's going to go have to quickly get changed. He's already a bit late. Well, his wife sees this, not impressed. His little girl is like so stunned that she dithers a bit and she misses her lift. So when he comes back down, the wife coldly says to him, "You are going to have to take her to school." She missed her bus or her lift. So now he's really in a quandary. He's already late. He's fuming. He decides to take an alternative route to the one that he would normally so that he could catch up some time. And on this route, he can put foot. Let's say it's a 60K zone and he's doing 85, 90. And he comes around the corner and a traffic cop puts out his hand. R1,000 fine later, and still 20 minutes late, he arrives at the girl, little girl's school. She gets out the car, doesn't look back at her daddy, doesn't say goodbye, like is still distraught about what's happened, and goes into the school. He gets back into the traffic, and it seems, Richard, that the entire traffic, whether it was Cape Town or wherever
it was all up against him.
All against him. What's wrong with them? They're going even slower than normal, you know, and they're cutting in, etc. And he's like, "What's wrong with you?" He arrives at work now half an hour late. And Richard, the pace at work seems just untenable. It seems like everybody is on his case. His colleagues are pushing ahead, but he seems to be lagging behind, and his boss is on his case. Like, it was a terrible day, a ghastly day. He comes home. His little girl doesn't say hello. His wife is like got long memory about what happened. And that night, listeners, as he's lying in bed thinking about this terrible day that he had, he tries to find out what's the reason for the terrible day that I had. Was it my daughter when she spilled the coffee? No, not really. Was it my wife who didn't kiss me goodbye? No, not really. Was it the traffic cop who gave me that R1,000 fine? No. Was it the traffic that seemed to just be ridiculously untamed? Nope. Was it my colleagues? Were they unreasonable towards me? Was it my boss? And in a moment of clarity, as he's lying there, he realizes that all those things happened to him. But the primary reason that it was a terrible day was because of how he reacted. In the magic of when we used to have video or tape recorders, used to be able to go back. Rewind. So let's rewind. And there's this little girl at the breakfast table with her dad and mom. She reaches across the table to grab the honey or the jam. And by accident, she knocks over her dad's coffee. She gets a fright, but he says, "That's okay, love. Just be careful next time. Daddy loves you." His wife notices this. He goes upstairs. He manages to muster a whistle. Changes his clothes. His wife eyes him with great joy as he walks past. And the little girl catches a bus or catches the lift. And that day, Richard, he feels like Moses because the cars seem to just pass as he goes. It's amazing. He gets to work early. Not late, early. And here by 10 o'clock, his boss comes and says, "Man, what did you have for breakfast today? You're on fire. You're just going for it." That night, as he arrives home, there's a little guided missile. His daughter, "Daddy," she gives him a big hug. And his wife, as he walks into the kitchen, pins him against the wall and gives him this big kiss. That night, as he's lying in bed thinking about what made this day such a great day, was it his daughter? Was it his wife? Was it the traffic that seemed to be so amicable? Was it his colleagues? Was it his boss? And in a moment of clarity, he realizes that although all those things happened, the primary reason that this was a great day was because of how he responded to the day. So that little play act, listeners, was just to illustrate that we have amazing ability to choose how we will respond to stuff. We can't choose sometimes the things that happen to us, economy, the rain, the petrol price, etc., or even someone cutting us off in the traffic, or an unexpected delay. We can't plan for that. But what we can do 100% is plan how we will respond. And so we have no control over those things, but we have 100% control over how we will respond. And Stephen Covey in this book just reminds us that this is a great principle to live by. Will we get it right every time? Probably not. But if we're aware of that minuscule time slot when we have a choice, the difference can be life-changing. Well, the third little snippet that I wanted to share, Richard and listeners, is what's called the seventh habit, which is to sharpen the sword. Abraham Lincoln said, "If I had 6 hours to chop down a tree, I would spend 4 hours making sure that that saw is sharp." Why? Because if you think of a natural saw and you keep on using it without sharpening it, after a while it starts to blunt and it takes more effort and hard work, and eventually it's becoming ineffective, the saw. So the principle of sharpen the saw is around you and I, listeners, in 4 or 5 areas of our life. It's about the following areas. I take care of my body, you know, and that's a big one. Mm. You know, amazing, when we're young, we think that we're bulletproof and we can do all sorts of things. And I'm not even talking about wrong things, illegal things. I'm talking about, you know, going without rest or pushing and doing physical activity as if we were supermen and just can carry on indefinitely. Well, as we age, we begin to realize, whoops, the body says, wait a minute. So learn one of the things to sharpen your saw, you as a person that's going to contribute and be an effective person, is take care of your body. How about taking care of your mind? Mens sana in corpore sano, which was, I think it's Latin, which means a healthy mind in a healthy body. So making sure, you know, the thought life, and Richard, we spoke a while ago about the growth mindset. Mm. Where does that lie? It lies in realizing that what you think about, what you focus on, can have a dramatic impact upon your life and your effectiveness. I take care of my heart, and that's an area of your relationships, your emotions. That's why that emotional bank, good one to work with. And I take care of my soul. So in 4 areas, the soul, the body, the mind, and the heart. Now, whatever that means to you, make sure that you respond to it, remembering that balance really is best. You know, what is a balanced life? I know of people, friends, who have been incredibly successful in business. But there is a pathway of broken relationships. I wouldn't call that life an effective life. Yes, in business, no doubt. But there were other areas of their life that they disregarded. And similarly, you know, I think particularly of young people now, make sure that you're thinking of all four areas of your life. Why? So that when you need to use the saw, that's you, you're able to do it with a great pace and you continue to add value. I would say that it's something that when I started the business, Richard, I had to consider myself. I said, here's a list of things I must do. And that was the obvious stuff, register, tax clearance, certificate, etc., right? A whole list. But there was a second list, which was a smaller one, but nevertheless as important. And that was, what do I need to change about myself? Mm. How do I need to grow? And I think that area we need to constantly look at. How, listeners, will you sharpen your saw? So those three things coming from the book, Seven Habits of Highly Effective People, building a emotional bank account so that you can build trusting relationships, embracing the 90-10 principle, which means that you don't react, but you respond, and learning over time to sharpen the saw. Listeners, I hope that those things you can put into practice, and if you can, get a copy of the book by Stephen Covey, The Seven Habits of Highly Effective People. Next week, or 2 weeks' time, Richard, I like to say that you will be the same five years from now, except for two things: the books you read and the people you meet. And we're going to have Sandy from Sandy's Bistro come in and share about her business, but also about the people, the significant people that have had a impact on her life. I'm sure that she'll touch on some elements, she might not call it that, of the emotional bank account and the 90-10 principle. But we look forward to hosting Sandy in 2 weeks' time.
That'll be very, very nice. She's a lovely lady, is Sandy. All right, Steve. Well, thank you. That was really very interesting and worth the wait.
Apologies, Richard. Apologies, listeners.
No, you no need to apologize, Steve. No need to apologize. It's great to have you here again this afternoon. Look forward to seeing you in 2 weeks' time. Go safely in this weather.
Thank you. Thank you, listeners.